My text is Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Actually, it's just the first two words. But now. You may think it very strange that I'm giving a whole discourse to these two words. But I hope you will appreciate and see when I finished. There are no more glorious, thrilling, startling, amazing, wonderful words, life-changing words in all Scripture. The context here is so important. From chapter 1, verse 18, right through to this place here, chapter 3, verse 20, Paul has been pouring out a cataract, a torrent of condemnation. Mankind, all men and women, boys and girls, all of us, we're born into this world dead in sins, ruined in the fall. And whether we are pagans or religious, Gentiles or Jews, whatever we are, we're under the condemnation and wrath of God. We're helpless and hopeless, ruined in every part. It's the darkest place in all the Bible. But it's where Paul must start. If he's going to set forth the gospel, we must begin with the plight of man. My plight, your plight, ruined in Adam, dead in sins, under the wrath of God. And at last, he's come to this point, this watershed, this break, and I can hear him thundering out these words. And I want to speak with all the passion at my disposal. These words, but now, in spite of all this evil and corruption and ruin and condemnation and wrath, but now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, and so on. But now, in the midst of all that darkness, in the midst of all that gloom and misery, but now. What Paul is speaking of here, let's just deal with it, if we can, dispassionately for a moment. He's speaking of the great change in the history of the world, the watershed of the ages. He's speaking in terms of what I might call epoch. Before Christ and after Christ. It's all to do with Christ, you see, in Jesus Christ. It's here. And what Paul is saying is, up to the coming of Christ, until the work of Christ, that's what he's talking about, until the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, until Christ poured out his Spirit, he accomplished his work on the cross. It was all death and sin and ruin and misery. But in Christ, this is what God is saying, but now, the watershed of the ages, Christ has accomplished something to undo all that wretchedness and misery and ruin and condemnation. Our righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, has been accomplished, has been worked. But now, this epoch change, this change in the salvation history, this change in history, this watershed, this break has come. We now have light in this darkness. The people that have sat in dark, walked in darkness, have sat in darkness, have seen a great light. For Christ has come. And Paul cannot contain himself. I can hear it in his words. I can feel it. I want to convey it to you, my hearer. But now. At the birth of Christ, do you remember when the various people sang their songs? Mary and Zacharias and these people. And when the angels came and told these people of what was going to happen, and when the angels sang at the birth of Christ, you remember it's the same theme. It was rejoicing and delight and pleasure, goodwill to men, and so on. done glorious things, great things. And if you read these songs, I'm thinking of Matthew 1 and Luke 2 and 3 and so on. If you read these songs and look into them, what will you see? There's a for in their words, a because. You shall call his name Jesus for, because he shall save his people from their sins. My soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath done. And it's really all this. If you read it for yourself, you'll see. It's really all this. Because of the ruin of human race, because of the degradation in, and the sin and the corruption in the world. And God now has established his righteousness in his Son. But now, you see, it's the for. But now is this great change. So in a sense, the first thing I have to say here is give a kind of lecture and say that, standing back dispassionately, as I say, Christ has now come and God has brought into the world, brought into being, this glorious redemption, this glorious forgiveness. But now there is hope. But now there is the gospel. This is the gospel that Paul is setting out. So I sort of stand back and, as a matter of fact, as it were, just make this statement. But the truth is, my friend, I can't stand back as a matter of fact. It shouldn't be possible to stand back and treat this as a kind of algebraic equation. X equals 2, therefore 2x equals 4, and all that kind of standing back dispassionately. Archimedes cried out, Eureka! He had discovered something. Well, that Eureka is nothing compared to this. There's a Eureka point here, if you like. A but now point. Not only in the human race, my friend. Not only in the great epoch of the ages, this salvation history change. But the truth is, there must come this but now in your life and in mine. There's got to come this conversion experience. There's got to be before and after. There can be, my friend. Are you listening to me? Some of you may be listening and you've given up all hope. You know you can't break free of your sin. You've heard this before and you're under the wrath of God and you feel it. And you feel there's nowhere to go. Then listen to these words, my friend. But now, it's not just for the ages. It's for you. There can be a but now for you. And I don't mean tomorrow or next week, I mean now. But now, there can be a but. There is a but. And I offer it to you. But now, a righteousness from God has been made known. There is hope, and it's through faith in Christ. In the next discourse, I will expound it and explain it and preach it, declare it. I really want to bring home this point, though, of the but now. There can be this but now for you if you trust Christ. If you trust Christ. It's an individual thing as well. Believer, this has happened to you. You've been passed out, taken out from Adam, translated out of Adam into Christ. You've been taken out of darkness into light. You've been taken away from death into life, into glory. You've been liberated. Why? Because the but now has come. Do you say to me, you are making so much of just two words in one place. It's just the accident of words. Not at all, not at all. I could read various scriptures to you. I'm just going to read a few from Romans. How about this from chapter 5? The but now, it doesn't come together here. But the whole point is the but now. Listen to it. Here are the same points that I'm making in Romans chapter 5. But, you see, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, there's your but now, you see. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And he goes on like that. See that but now. How about this one in chapter 6? What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was a but now in there. But now that you have been set free. Romans 6:22. How about this in the next chapter? Romans 7:6. We were controlled by the flesh. The sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what was once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. There's a but now in there, verse 6. But now. But now. Chapter 8. Now, you don't get but now here, but the whole tone is a but now. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, and on. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, and so on. Now, as Paul closed the Romans, his last few verses, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden by long ages past, but now revealed, there's the point again, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. And there are other places in Scripture. The but now. There is a but now in the history of the ages. Christ has come and brought light into this darkness, brought grace into this misery and ruin, brought hope where there is degradation. He can save from sin, and he will save from sin all who trust him. But it's not just in the ages. It is, in fact, in the personal experience. Have you got this but now, my friend? You can have it now. Cry to Christ, oh Lord, give me this but now. I want this but now, now, Lord. May I just read a hymn to you? Perhaps that will help you to understand. Perhaps it will say it better than I can. It's a hymn by W.G. Matson. Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy marred visage any grace, but now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was deaf, I could not hear the thrilling music of thy voice, but now I hear thee and rejoice, and sweet are all thy words and dear. Lord, I was dumb, I could not speak the grace and glory of thy name, but now, as touched with living flame, my lips thine eager praises wake. Lord, I was dead, I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee, but now, since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. For thou hast made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live, and thou didst break the chains of my captivity. So there is a but now in the history of the ages, but there is a but now in the life of every individual sinner who trusts Christ. Have these words helped anybody, my friend? Have they helped you? Have they made you, believer, rejoice again that God has given you this but now? Once you were dead, once you were blind, once you were deaf, once you were dumb, but now you are alive to Christ and in Christ and alive to God, and you speak for him. And is there a sinner here listening to me? Will you turn from your false religion, turn from your no religion, turn from your works and your doings, turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you can say, there's a but now in my life. And it took place the moment I trusted Christ. For God enabled me to trust him. Will you trust him? I plead with you to do so. And if you do so, can I ask you a favor? Will you encourage me by dropping me an email? You can find my link on the website where you're listening. Just drop me an email and tell me that this but now has been yours, for you have trusted Christ. It would make my heart rejoice. I know it would make the angels in heaven rejoice if you do trust. The Bible tells me so. If you do trust the Savior, if you repent. I know it would rejoice God, for he delights in the salvation of sinners. He's established this righteousness, but now it's God's work. It would please and honor and glorify and delight Christ, for he came into the world to establish this work. Will you do me that favor, my friend? May God bless these words. But now, in a historical sense, that we may understand it, but in a personal sense, may we know it, feel it, experience it, and may we go on our way rejoicing and telling others, there is a but now for me, and there can be a but now for you. I say it again, my friend. There is a but now. Make it yours by God's grace. Even now. Even now.